Most of us fell in love with our bikes when we were just kids, but somewhere along the way we became car people and forgot about the joy of riding a bike. Well, these days, cycling is taking off against a backdrop of rising gas prices and a shaky economy. And when you're watching your budget, riding your bike to the store can save a few bucks and give you some exercise in the bargain. Hi, I'm Veronica Rickert, in for Kathleen Dunn, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we'll tell you why it's a great time to dust off your old 10-speed and hit the streets. We'll tell you what you need to know about how to get going, how to be safe doing it, and what bikes might fit your needs. Our guest this hour, David Vogt, Deputy Executive Director of the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin. That can be found online at www.bfw.org. Well, what about you? Have you started to make cycling a part of your everyday life? And if so, has the change been a good one? And can bicycling fit in with a busy life? Call us with your stories and your questions today at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. David Vogt, thanks so much for coming into the studio this morning.
Good morning.
Well, David, bike shops across the country seem to be picking up business, and shops are kind of backed up with old bikes needing service and selling new bikes. Why is biking such an appealing option right now?
Well, it really has no downside. When you think of the price of gas right now, just coming down from $4 a gallon, and you couple that with the need for getting exercise and also an interest in helping out the environment, bicycling covers all those areas. And it's a win-win-win, and people are realizing that, and it fits in great with today's life.
Well, you're with the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin. Are you noticing an upsurge in interest right now in people who are wanting to check things out and get involved?
Absolutely. We had a great Bike to Work Week this May, where we had record-breaking numbers for people who were registering for Bike to Work Week. And more importantly, it was the fact that we had the number of first-time people, or the number of registrants who said that they were first-time bicycle commuters, was up about 45% over last year. And these are people who are just trying bicycle commuting for the very first time. And those are only the people who registered on our website. So there could be even more out there.
Madison is supposed to be a very friendly city for biking. Is that right?
That's correct.
Nationally, you know, in
terms
of national
It's one of the tops.
Measure.
Yeah, we're actually gold rated. There's the League of American Bicyclists likes to rank cities, and they have a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. There's only one or two cities that are currently platinum. Madison is a gold, and we have a plan in the works for attaining platinum status. And it's going to take some work and some commitment, but we could get there.
How does the rest of the state shape up compared to Madison?
The rest of the state is doing great. Milwaukee is taken off. It's actually a bronze city. And I lived in Milwaukee for several years, about a decade ago. And the improvements that it's made, largely in part due to the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin's work over there in the Milwaukee office, has been incredible. Bicycling overall in Wisconsin is really showing itself to be one of the primary industries and recreations in the state. You know, bicycling in Wisconsin is worth $1 billion to our economy.
Wow.
Manufacturing, tourism, retail, it's $1 billion, billion with a B, and I like to emphasize that because it's important. And I think the people who are listening to this, they might not realize that it means so much to our economy. It means jobs. It means status and prestige. Like the fact that the bicycles that have won, like the Tour de France and the Giro d'Italia, these famed international bike races, were built right here in Wisconsin, just a little ways away.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
What is it? A particular brand?
Yeah, Trek.
It's Trek. Okay,
yes,
I should know this, but you see, I'm a biking novice. I'm just getting involved.
And we have many other great bicycle corporations right here in Madison as well. So.
Hmm. You know, we used to see pictures, at least when I was growing up, these pictures of China where you used to see seas of bicyclists.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Do you think we're heading that way in America, or are we never going to be that bike happy here?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, we're not out to try and force anybody to ride a bike. And I think people,
which is good.
People in China, perhaps they rode bikes because they had no other option.
Right,
I mean, we're just here to give people the option. We're here to give people the choice and the freedom to do that. And it really, it's there's overwhelming evidence that if we give people the choice, they will take it. We have bike lanes that literally are crowded at rush hour. because there are so many bicyclists on it. And, you know, it just, it goes to show that if we do give people the option to do that, they will take that. Because, like I said before, who doesn't like to save money by not burning gas? Who doesn't like to get some nice aerobic cardiovascular exercise? Who doesn't want to improve their health? You know, who doesn't want to help the environment? These are all positive things. And just a small commitment and just a small amount of bicycling by everybody can make a huge impact. You know, for instance, in our society right now, 40% of all trips made by car are 2 miles or less. And 25% of all car trips are within 1 mile of the home. And these are prime candidates for bicycle trips.
Well, it used to be you'd think that you'd have to take the car though, because you've got your groceries, you've got your child in tow. And these days I'm seeing a lot more trailers, people biking with their kids in back or using the trailers to haul the groceries. Are we solving sort of the little kinks that kept bicycling from being an everyday thing?
Yeah, there's some great products out there. You can eat the trailers, the racks. There's a really great product that I'm looking at. I've seen a few around Madison here. The one's called the Extra Cycle, which is literally almost like a pickup truck. Of a bicycle. There's a great article in, I believe it was Salon.com, about a guy who tried to do all of his errands on an extra cycle. And he shopped for a month for his groceries for, I believe he had a family of four. He talked about buying a full-size Weber barbecue and hauling it home on the extra cycle.
No way.
Yeah. And it worked.
Paint this extra cycle for me. How big is this
really
thing?
All it is a standard-sized bicycle with an attachment that puts the back triangle and the back wheel assembly farther out back, and it has a big rack and platform on the back, which... it can hang multiple bags of groceries. You can actually put seats on there for children. I guess the surfing community loves these things too, because you can haul a full size surfboard to the beach on it. Apparently, you can haul a Weber barbecue.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and the trailers work great too. Backpacks, you know, there's all sorts of solutions.
So what about the winters? You mentioned that biking in Wisconsin is a billion-dollar industry. What about the winters? Can you really keep biking in the winter? I'm surprised the number's that large given our climate here.
Well, I do. A lot of people bike year-round. I use studded tires. And I don't believe that it's our goal to say that you have to always give up your car and always ride a bicycle. And we understand that biking in the winter is not as pleasant as it is. Generally, you can get 9, even 10 good months of riding with proper clothing. Last winter was an exception, of course. That's not like most winters. I like to say that, you know, we can do 9 to 10 months of good bicycling here. Winter doesn't seem to stop us from buying snowmobiles or boats or jet skis, and you can certainly do those less than you can bicycle. For those who are more hardy, bicycling in the winter really is actually quite enjoyable. We had a winter riding club that got together every weekend. I think we even made the local papers. But we just put on the studded tires and go out for a winter ride.
It's not like the equivalent of a snow tire, putting the chains on the tires
kind of thing. And they really work well. I was amazed that you could ride across the ice and snow. And I only had one little mishap that involved me landing in about a 6-foot snowbank, which was like landing in a pile of feathers, really.
So. I don't know. One little mishap landing in a 6-foot snowdrift.
You do have to be more careful. And I do understand that people don't want to bike in the winter. But again, we're not here to tell you that you have to bike year-round and you have to give up your car.
Well, one thing I want to ask you about, I think all of us have had the experience of seeing one of these herds of bicyclists go by, and they're all decked out in the sleek spandex and the pointy helmets, and, you know, they look so fit and so sleek, and it can seem a little intimidating for someone who wants to start off to have that image in their head. I mean, is there a place for the average Joe to be an everyday biker? I mean, is there room in between the people who are in the racing and in the spandex and just, you know, maybe like a senior citizen or someone who's a little less physically fit?
Sure. First of all, I guess speaking as one of those people in the spandex, you know, we're not as fit as everyone likes to think we are. We're, you know, most of us are just a bunch of ordinary people who just like to bicycle as a sport as well. As far as the average bicyclist, generally the packs of cyclists don't usually mix it up on the bike trails with the commuters and such. Generally, those people are more out in the on the open roads, much to the chagrin of some motorists when the packs don't behave themselves, which they should. They should obey the laws as well. Mm. Bicycling really is for everybody. There's not, the bicycles nowadays, you don't have to, you're not stuck with a skinny tired carbon fiber road rocket that costs several $1,000s. You can go get a very comfortable, low geared bike that is easy to pedal and is comfortable and is suitable for the rides around town. There's really no reason to think that you have to be super fit. But the nice thing about it is that the more you do ride, the more fit you get. And suddenly you find the physical activity a lot easier than it was when you first started out. And then you find that you really do enjoy it. So that's the progression.
Well, David, you mentioned before the show that you wanted to touch on safety, and I should point out that you're sitting here in our studio with your arm in a sling. I had to help you on with your headphones because you just had a bike accident on Saturday. You're sporting, three different kinds of broken bones over there. You look great for all of that, I have to say, but, I mean, tell us what happened to you, and then just give us a little refresher on how to be safe on the road.
Well, I was racing up at Grandview, Wisconsin in the Firehouse 50, and two people in front of me somehow made contact, went down in front of me, which I still don't know why, because that's not something that normally would happen. And I was faced with trying to swerve around two people who were down, and I made it around one and hit the other, and I was launched about 3 feet in the air and came down right on my head. And I rolled down, kept tumbling forward and hit my shoulders, then my hip, and then my leg, and I ended up with two broken shoulders and a cracked vertebrae in my back, and a lot of bruises and all that. But the one thing that I didn't have is a head injury. And I'm a stickler for making sure my helmet is snug and secure and fits properly. And I wanted to let everybody know out there that helmets do work and they save lives. I talked to, I believe it was Dr. Mike Abernathy of UW MedFlight, who was great flight crew that got me from the Northwoods down to UW on my very first helicopter ride.
What a way to have
it. Yeah, no doubt. He basically said that the body tends to have the structural integrity of a cantaloupe, and helmets are there for a reason. And he probably wouldn't be here talking right now if I wasn't wearing a helmet. So, maybe a lot of our listeners are saying, well, I don't race, so this doesn't apply to me. But the kind of fall that I had was, me going over my handle, hitting an obstacle and going over my handlebars. And the fact that I hit two racers that were down could have been duplicated easily. A pothole, a dog, or some debris could happen to anybody. And that kind of going over the handlebars and hitting the head is very common. So, wear your helmets and wear them properly. Take some time to find out how they're supposed to be fit. And most people I see out there are not wearing them properly. And if I had been wearing it improperly or not snugly enough, it could have come off as I was going over the bars and I could have hit my head anyway. So it's very important to learn how, and they work. I'm here because helmets work. So I just wanted to emphasize that.
So they're supposed to fit snugly.
Yes.
What about the strap under the chin? Is that supposed to touch the chin or is it supposed to be dangling down a little?
No, it should be touching the chin.
That means I'm wearing mine wrong.
Probably.
Yeah.
And, the staff member that came in today wearing the helmet, I was noticing he was wearing it properly when he walked in this morning, but then I noticed he was wearing headphones underneath, which is
that's a no-no.
Something you should be doing.
Did you perform a citizen's arrest?
No, I didn't. Not in my physical condition. I don't confront people.
It's good to know, though. It's a good reminder.
You just have to punch me in the shoulder, and that'd be all. It's all over.
Well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back with your questions. And I hope we can also get to talking about what the new bikes are that are out there. There are some new varieties out there for people who might not have racing on their minds, who want it more of a commuter bicycle for everyday use. Well, call and tell us, have you decided to get back on your bike again? Is it in regards to the gas prices and maybe making the world a cleaner, greener place to live? And how does it fit in with your life? What has that change done to you? Have you enjoyed it? Has it been a good thing? Or are you missing your car? You can call us this morning at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll be back with David Vogt, Deputy Executive Director of the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin. I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickard back with you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio after 12:30. Join us for Chapter a Day as Jim Fleming reads from The Appeal by John Grisham. We're talking bicycles today, looking at the rise of the bike as gas prices are also on the rise and family budgets are getting a little bit tighter. It is a good time to get back on the bike. You don't need a fancy new bike either. Sometimes you can just get the old one suited up and get back on the road. A lot of people are doing that. Well, what about you? Have you decided to become a born-again biker? Lots of people are doing it, and how have you fit it into your life? You can call us this morning at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And we're joined now, in addition to David Vogt, by Amy Walker, who is a publisher and contributor for Momentum. That's a lifestyle magazine for urban cyclists. And Amy Walker, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So we've been talking this morning about sort of the rise of bicycling again. A lot of people are doing it because of the prices of gas and because they're interested in helping the environment. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, we're seeing that as well as people who are biking because once they start biking, they realize it's really enjoyable and it makes life more pleasurable and simpler in a lot of cases too.
Well, what is it about biking, do you think? I mean, there are those of us who ride once in a while for pleasure, and then there are those like you who are really passionate about biking. Can you tell us what it is that you love so much about it?
Well, I love the fact that I can see all around me, honestly. I was riding down the street the other day and just seeing the road and seeing the sky and looking at people and the sense that you're actually in your environment rather than being inside of a car. I love that about cycling, just the it's a very sensual experience. And I love, honestly, the community of people that I see around my city on bikes, I find it the best way to explore a new city on bikes.
What city are you in?
I'm in Vancouver, B.C.
Vancouver. Is that a pretty good biking city?
It's quite good. Yeah, it's hilly, so we do need gears here often. And the planning, there's a lot of infrastructure being put in that's helpful to biking.
Well, David Vogt, that's a question we hadn't asked you. What is it about bicycling that you love that speaks to you so much?
Well, I'd like to basically echo those comments. One of the greatest things is my commute in to work in the morning. I commute with white-tailed deer and red-tailed hawks and wild turkeys. Yeah, it's wonderful, and it's some of the very little unplugged time I actually have. It's the time that it's away from my BlackBerry and my laptop computer, and it's great time to think. It's a great time to kind of just think about your day or maybe not think about your day. It's a respite, and it's you don't have the stress that you get. And it's what I really enjoy is when I come in across the John Nolan Causeway and the traffic is backed up, I'm actually sometimes coming in faster. I actually arrive into downtown faster than I would if I was in a car.
Not to mention the view down there.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Well, we've got callers on the line here. Let's take a call here from Tom in Green Bay. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I hope it's on topic. I recently pulled out a couple of my bikes from the back of the garage. I've got one good quality Peugeot that's about 30 years old.
Nice.
And another more modest quality Trek that's an off-road bike. In order to get them back into use, I'm going to have to do some work on them. And I'm finding between the tires and the tune-up, I'm finding the cost to be surprisingly high. So I'd like to do most of the work myself, but I'm wondering if you'd give me any tips or make any comments on how to keep that cost down and still keep them in good running shape without having to go and buy a new bicycle.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom. Amy Walker?
Yeah, what I would suggest first off that you look and see if there's a community bike store in your vicinity. A lot of cities have community bike stores, and these sprang up in the 90s, a lot of them. A lot of them are places where you can go and they get donations of bikes and parts, and then they have a staff of people who will not only help you fix your bike, they'll teach you, how to do that, and their prices tend to be lower than conventional bike repair shops. So there's a community aspect there.
And do you want to chime in there?
Yeah, I agree with the community bike shop. I also would like to plug our local bike shops. You know, Wisconsin has fantastic local bike shops everywhere. I know quite a few of them up in the Green Bay area myself. There's a couple different types of people, those that find working on bikes enjoyable and those who find it a chore. I'm one of those who find it enjoyable. There's some great online resources, too. If you go to, I believe, Park Tools, which is a really good manufacturer of bicycle tools, they have an online repair guide for the do-it-yourselfer that is outstanding. So maybe that would be is in addition to your local bike shop.
Mm-hmm. Could I add a thought?
Sure.
Just one thought is we've had a couple of articles about bike repair, mechanic schools, et cetera. And one of those things, the price does come up a lot. And I would like to also encourage people to pay their mechanics well, because I think it's a valuable job.
Agreed.
All right. Thank you. And I hope that helps, Tom. Good luck. And we'll take a call from Rick now, calling us from Marshfield. Hello, Rick.
Hi. I used to ride my bike extensively in and around the Milwaukee area, and I want to give two experiences that I think are illustrative of the problems here. Number one, I was bicycling through Lincoln Park along the Milwaukee River once, and a whole bunch of young street punks came running out from the bushes and, trying to grab me. One of them actually got his arm around the bicycle. I got over to the St. Joseph's Hospital, which is near there, and I called the Milwaukee Police Department, and they were not even interested in coming over and interviewing me about this. So what I started to do was carry an unauthorized loaded handgun on me under my bicycle equipment where you couldn't see it. And sure enough, about 2 years later, I was riding right in the center of the city of Milwaukee near the Marquette campus, and I was jumped from behind by a crackhead who had just been released from the Waupun State Prison for quote-unquote good behavior, early release, and I was forced to use that handgun to protect my life. Because of that, if I hadn't had a lawyer, I would have been charged by the district attorney's office with using excessive force. Now, after that, I gave up using my bicycle in the city of Milwaukee.
Well, couldn't the same be said, Rick, if you were on foot? I mean, if those things had happened to you, it's not the bicycle, I guess, is what I'm saying. Is it a matter of choosing your routes more carefully?
I don't know how to do that. In a large metropolitan area, there's certain places you simply have to go through if you want to get from point A to point B, unless you have an airplane.
Okay, Rick. Well, what about that Amy Walker? You're from a big city. What about the urban cycling and crime?
Well, honestly, I think I don't think that we have that level of violent crime here. And honestly, I've always felt, and this isn't to minimize the fellow's comments, because I just feel like that's pretty horrible. But I've always felt as a female that I feel a lot safer riding my bike than walking. And there's a lot of places that when I walk through, I feel like I don't feel so safe here, but when I can ride through, I feel a lot safer. So that's just my experience.
And David Vogt?
Well, I would have to agree that, being on a bicycle probably can put you a little more vulnerability than being in a car. But again, I don't, this is not the fault of the bicycle. I just would like to point out that the more people we have out in these places, the more bicyclists, the more people, the more law-abiding citizens we have out there, the less likelihood of the thugs congregating out there. And I know what you're talking about, because I've bicycled there myself, and I've bicycled in Milwaukee a lot, and I'm aware that there were some places where I believe it was one of the old bike paths used to run through that was frequented by these people, and I'm fairly sure it has cleaned up by now, and I know that there are a lot more bicyclists out there that are making it more safer just because of the presence of more citizens. So, I don't want to minimize your experiences, but again, I think that's possible with anything, and it's just a matter of circumstance at that point.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, Rick, and let's take a call now from Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary, thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm one of those, I guess you would call it average bikers. I started biking in the early 80s, at age 37, and I'm in my early 60s now. I've been biking every year since then. I started when I was interested in sag bra, and in my first year of biking, I did do that, so that was a lot of fun. I've had one cyclometer turn over 10,000 miles in the years, and so I'm kind of proud of that. And I've also done one century, probably never to be repeated. For us, so biking is a social thing, too, as we've started a weeknight neighborhood ride. And so we get out there and we visit each other, get to know each other better, and, you know, stop for ice cream. So it's been a real plus in my life. And don't know what I'd be doing if I hadn't found biking.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So are you riding a particular kind of bike that you think suits your needs? Or
yes, I started out with a Trek, and that was a road bike with the thinner tires. And as I got older, I went to the hybrid with a slightly wider tires or thicker tires, and mm-hmm. you know, just feel a little bit safer out there.
Well, that's wonderful. And what about, you know, our previous caller, Rick, was talking about problems in Milwaukee, maybe with crime. Have you encountered any of that since you're calling from Milwaukee?
I have not experienced this, but I am aware that it exists, and, you know, just try to be cautious.
Amy Walker?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Does that sound like something you're seeing a lot of people who are getting into cycling, maybe a little bit later on in life, maybe not the 20-year-olds?
Well, definitely. I can use as an example my own mother, who she is going to be 61 this year, and she has been riding pretty consistently for about 4 or 5 years. She used to ride. She got a new bike a couple of years ago and started using it for all her trips. Like, outside of her work trip, she would ride to the grocery store, et cetera, go to church and to yoga, et cetera. And I see people like her. I see a lot of older cyclists everywhere, actually. But she's someone who, you know, I've seen a big change in her since she's been cycling more in the last couple. I think I'm a bit of an influence, but
I'm sure you are. Well, talking about bicycles, there was a U.S. News and World Reports feature, I don't know if either of you saw it, about a new kind of bicycle, I gather, which is, it looks sort of like the big Sound of Music kind of bicycle, like you're touring through the Austrian countryside with a great big seat and, you know, handlebars that let you sit erect. Is that something that might be good for the older cycler?
Yeah, I think a lot of... when we look back into the past, bike designs of the past, we can see some cues to where we might go in the future. And also, really, if we look to Europe, a lot of European city bikes have the features like, you know, bigger tires and a wider handlebar, lower bottom bracket. Sometimes a step-through frame is very helpful, especially if you have, you know, for balance and for just putting your leg over the top tube. It's much easier.
And what do you think we're seeing that's new in bike design, mm-hmm. David Vogt?
Well, I think the hybrid design is fantastic for most people because it allows people to ride on the pavement as well as the gravel paths. The one thing about the wide tire bikes, you know, they're coming back and they're very stylish, and I think people are making a fashion statement with them, but many of them are not as efficient. Many of them are heavier. The wider tires are going to provide more rolling resistance, and so they're fun, and they're great bikes. You know, if you're going to do the quarter mile ice cream ride, they're really great to do that, but they're probably not the most efficient bikes in the world. Hmm. You know, a great hybrid bike is probably the best overall technology you can get nowadays because it is comfortable, it is easy to ride, it is good for the majority of riders, and it is, you know, it's a great overall bike.
What does hybrid mean in bicycle parlance?
I think hybrid meant it was not a road bike, like it wasn't a skinny tire drop bar road bike, and it was not an aggressive mountain bike.
I see, okay.
And so it had some features of both. It has the low gearing, it has the triple chain ring, in other words, it has the granny gear that makes it really easy to pedal. But it has tires that are somewhere in between the road bike, the skinny tire pizza cutters, and the big knobby tires of the mountain bike. So it allows you to to ride nicely on the gravel paths as well as the road. The handlebars are more upright. The geometry is putting you a little more upright, less aggressive riding position because you don't need the aerodynamics of the road bike, and you don't need the climbing ability of the mountain bike. Hmm. So it was kind of a hybrid between the two designs.
I've got an email here I wanted to run by the two of you. This is from Kimberly. All right, I think it's actually John. Sorry, John in Wisconsin. And John in Kimberly, Wisconsin. There we go. Anyway, he says, I run to stay in shape, and I've tried biking to cross-train, but after a couple of times, my bottom hurts so badly, I give it up. I've tried several seats, but can't find one that is anywhere near comfortable. Do you have any suggestions? David Vogt?
I would take it to a fit specialist at one of your local bike shops. A lot of times, it doesn't have as much to do with the equipment as it has to do with the setup. A good fit specialist will look at your position and the angle, the tilt of the saddle, and not only that, things like the length of the stem, how far extended out toward the handlebars you are will affect that to your comfort to a great degree. So I would definitely recommend a fit specialist in this case.
You want to add to that, Amy Walker?
I think the fit specialist's answer is really good, and I also would say there's a couple things. Get a chamois, some padded shorts are sometimes really great. I went on a tour, and no chamois, it's very painful, but with some padding in your shorts, that helps. And also, this is maybe not what this man wants to hear, but sometimes, recumbent bike is good for a lot of people who have problems sitting on a seat for various reasons.
So the recumbent bikes, you see those occasionally. How are those about the same price as, an upright bike?
No, they're a bit more expensive. I think the price is coming down as more people discover them and try them out.
Let's take a call now from Reed in Clintonville. And Reed, thanks for calling.
Yes, well, thank you for this opportunity at last here. Say, I've listened to you for almost 40 minutes now, and not one time have I heard anyone speak to the issue of bike safety and proper training for youth as well as adults. There, I see many adults, and as a former chief referee at Super Week and one of the very first 10 commissars, national commissars for Norba, I have had a lot of experience with bikes, and not one word has been mentioned about a proper road etiquette, proper safety.
We did touch on the helmets and the proper fit of that.
About learning mm-hmm. how to ride a bike in traffic.
Sure, we can talk about that.
Riding on the correct side of the road, stopping at stop signs, obeying traffic laws. Being considerate of others, including larger vehicles, and being safe with one's children when families are out riding. These sorts of things are issues that really need to be addressed. One last item, and that is concerning the gentleman that called about the expense of having his bike repaired or updated or freshened up. Think of the expense of having your automobile repaired, and it's certainly much cheaper. And people do go to mechanics school as well.
Reed, we're going to take a break right now, and then we'll come back and get the answer to your comments there and hopefully talk a bit more about safety. In the meantime, what about you? Have you added bicycling to your life, maybe trying to get out of the car and get a little exercise, maybe live a greener lifestyle, and how has that been for you? You can call us with your stories and your experiences, your questions this morning at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 2 o'clock today, join us for Talk of the Nation Science Friday. A new math book for middle school girls hit the shelves this week. After 2 on Science Friday, Ira Flatow talks with actress and math education advocate Danica McKellar about her new book, Kiss My Math. And Tom Vanderbilt talks about his new book, Traffic, Why We Drive the Way We Do and What It Says About Us. That's coming up at 2 o'clock today on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Veronica Rickert back with you today here on the Ideas Network as we talk cycling with guest David Vogt, Deputy Executive Director of the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin, and Amy Walker, publisher and contributor for Momentum. And David Vogt, we'll start with you. We had a call there from Reed in Clintonville before the break wanting us to go into a little more depth about bicycle safety. Do you want to take a swing at that?
Sure. I sympathize with Reed's position. We talk bicycle safety, continuously at our organization. We continually stress the importance of being predictable in traffic, of obeying the laws, of the fact that a bicycle is a legal vehicle on Wisconsin's roads and is subject to the same rules and responsibilities and rights as any other vehicle. It is something we do, and it's something we stress. The most frustrating part for me is going to work every day to do my job and seeing so many bicyclists who don't seem to care. And even at the times when I have tried to intervene and talk to people in a civilized tone, I get responses that are not suitable for the air here. So, it's an uphill battle, and it makes it difficult for people like us to go to work every day and talk about autos and drivers respecting the rights of cyclists and the rights of us being legal users of the road when it seems like so many cyclists don't want to follow those rules themselves. So, I can sympathize with Reed. So it's something we do. It's something I will do every day of my life to encourage people that, you have to be predictable. You have to be visible.
What does that mean, be predictable?
Don't swerve. Stay in your lane. Make eye contact with the drivers. Approach every intersection as if it's a potential life-threatening hazard, which it is. You should know. You should not just go through intersections. You should not just assume that people will see you and will stop. It's bicycling in the traffic. We call it vehicular cycling. It's a very active experience. Don't wear earphones. Don't wear your iPod. That's just the wrong thing to do. Don't be talking on your cell phone. It's bad enough when you do it in your car. Don't do it on your bicycle. Obey the rules of the road. Take a bicycle refresher course if you need to. You can look at the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin. We have an entire listing of cycling instructors that can help you out with this.
And signal your turns, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely.
The old extended left arm for the left turn.
It all has to do with being predictable and signaling your intent and picking your lane correctly. You have a right to the lane. You should use it. You are not required as a bicyclist to ride in the gutter or on the sidewalk. In many cases, riding on the sidewalk is actually illegal. You have a right to the lane, and you should use it. You should position yourself where you are most visible, where you are most effectively negotiating with traffic for your particular maneuver.
Amy Walker, do you want to chime in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I've seen that seems to work well is one-day free commuter skills courses. Those are basically written and practical day courses that people can take. They're not available everywhere, but some bicycle advocacy organizations do offer them. Maybe I'm not sure if the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin does, but I've heard that a lot of new commuters, people who are new to riding their bike in traffic, feel a lot safer when they can sit down, learn the rules of the road together, and then go out for a ride with a group and practice things like turning left, going out in the middle of the road and signaling with your arm, which is it's quite a scary thing to do when you do it the first time. I would also suggest that we don't have in North America a very, very strong culture of vehicular cycling. We'll see more people riding inevitably now, and I feel that it is unwritten how our culture develops, so I'm really interested in that. I'm very interested in seeing, that we help each other and that we are civil and polite and courteous to each other, and I'm really interested in seeing how it will develop.
Does the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin have workshops like Amy was mentioning?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have league-certified instructors on our staff, and we do offer classes. And we also have a network of other instructors that we can get people in touch with as well.
If someone wanted to go online and look up some bike safety rules, is that available on your website,
sure,
maybe?
Sure, absolutely.
And your website, again, www.bfw.org. And I want to share an email here from Chris Brady, who says, I've been a bike commuter for over 11 years, ever since I moved to Madison, usually 10 to 15 miles a day. And while it's important for environmental reasons and personal fitness, I've also calculated that by saving and investing the money I would have otherwise spent on buying a new car or car insurance or gas, it probably saves about $90,000 that he otherwise would not have had. And so many people complain about prices, about being overweight, about not saving for retirement, and yet they don't give biking a try or walking. And, you know, an advocate there for the cost-effective and the exercise, the fitness benefits of biking. And I think that's something people are seeing more of. Have you ever calculated, David Vogt, what you might be saving by biking?
Oh, sure. Since I work in downtown Madison, if I drove my car with parking and gas and the maintenance, I save about $15 a day by riding my bike. So it's very easily calculated.
Okay, let's take another phone call now. Here we've got Stephen with us from Middleton. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, the bicycle people are awesome, and they rule. I want to ask David, can you design an injury situation where your shoulder blades are protected as well as your head? And for the Amy Walker from Vancouver, you are terrific. The question is, can critical mass bike riding get us slovenly automobile people out of our tin cans and on the road? More power to you people. Hurrah.
Okay, thanks for that call, Stephen. Amy Walker, do you want to take that?
Was that a design and injury situation where you protect your shoulder blades?
I think that's what he was talking about in the beginning there, yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I took a spill off my bike recently, and I did find that though I fell on one side of my body, the shoulder blade on the other side got scratched as well. So I can say it happens. Maybe padding. I don't know. I really don't know.
David Vogt?
If I had something, I would have. I wouldn't be in the situation I'm at right now. But is regarding the critical mass, I just wanted to stress the importance of, you know, well, the critical mass certainly has made a mark on cycling. We prefer that people do obey traffic laws, and we approach bicycle advocacy from a non-antagonistic point of view. I think there's plenty of movements out there, such as there's an organization called Critical Matters, which seeks to do the same thing, which seeks to increase the awareness of bicycling by bicycling in large numbers, but does not seek to antagonize drivers by blocking roads and harassing motorists who really have nothing to do with it other than the fact that they are just driving in their cars at that time. So, again, we encourage people to obey the rules of the road and not to engage in that kind of behavior.
On to a call from Arlen in Mineral Point. Hi, Arlen, you're up.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm really from Potosi, Wisconsin, and I've been biking for many, many years. My first bike, I think, we bought back in 1976. So I'm giving my age away here. But, Stephen, there, I have to sympathize with you for your accident there. The fact is that helmets do save a lot of lives out there. And I had a friend of mine that a cat ran across the road and got stuck in its front wheel, and he flipped over and broke his neck, but his helmet saved him.
Right.
And I just want to make a couple other comments here. Well, one is that, you know, there is another reason why you wear those bike helmets. I live in Grant County, and I go and ride by myself mainly, and I love listening to the birds and the natural effect of riding. And you know, those red-winged blackbirds really like to bomb you when you're riding a bike
yes,
out
they
there.
Do.
So they do bounce off your helmet every once in a while. So you gotta watch out for that.
Nothing like red wings to make your Wisconsin biking experience memorable, huh?
Oh, yes.
I've been there.
My wife can vouch for that. So.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, the wonderful interaction with nature as a bicyclist.
It's so a euphemism there, huh? Well, cats getting caught in your wheels, David, you were nodding your head and like, yeah, I've heard it when he said that. Does that actually happen to more than on a freak occasion?
That just reinforces my point where people might have heard about my accident and tend to dismiss it because they're not racing. But I followed up my comments with it. It could happen to anybody, and I use the example of a dog, mm-hmm. because my particular crash was about hitting an obstacle and going over my handlebars, hitting my head, and then breaking my shoulders. So while I was in a race situation, it's perfect. It's very feasible that it could happen to just your basic commuter on the road. And you know, I use the example of a dog, and here we have the example of a cat. So it just validates my earlier point.
Have you had any? You talked about the red-winged blackbirds dive bombing the helmets. What kind of experiences with nature have you had that you wouldn't have had on foot or in a car? Tell us about one of those.
Well, like I said, it's really amazing to come around the corner on the Capital City Trail on my morning commute and come across 15 wild turkeys sitting there or a white-tailed deer sitting in the middle of the trail, kind of looking. And it's just those are experiences that you don't really get in a car, and so you hope you don't see them in a car because you're likely going to have an accident at that point with a deer. I've been riding for 30 years, and the number of stories I can tell regarding great horned owls and deer and coyotes and things like that, it's just amazing.
Wow.
And they're all it's just amazing. Bears even.
Bears. That's not down here, of course.
Up in the northern Wisconsin. It's some of the best mountain biking in the world is up in the Shawangunk National Forest, and it's just I would encourage people from Madison and Milwaukee, from the cities, just to get out there and just see something that you don't see every day. And that's just getting deep into the forest. And I wrote about that in our last Wisconsin Bicyclist publication, that this is something that people should experience. And it is so close and it is so approachable to get out there and do that. And you're likely to see bears and deers and just things that you're not going to see in Madison or Milwaukee.
Let's go on and take another call. Here we have Scott Scott from Milwaukee. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
Great show. A quick comment to something one of the callers from Milwaukee earlier had said regarding the street crime and the unfortunately now former armed cyclist. There are parts of the city I've ridden in as I've gotten to know the city. I've only lived here a couple of years that you learn kind of the hard way to avoid, and it's unfortunate that it scares people away from cycling, but really it's situational awareness and knowing where not to go. My question actually is completely unrelated to that, and Amy had touched on recumbent bikes earlier. I'm actually kind of curious about them in terms of their differences from normal bikes, their handling, their advantages, their disadvantages. I see them everywhere, but I just don't know much about them.
Yeah, we've gotten a few emails about recumbents, too, so let's talk a bit about those. Thank you for that call, Scott. Amy Walker, do you want to start out?
My experience with riding recumbents myself is limited, but I know a number of people who do, and I would say that there's, as with upright bikes, there's a wide variety. For people who don't know, recumbent bikes are a more reclining attitude of bike, and there are some more recently that are a little higher with larger wheels. Some have a longer wheelbase, so you're sitting quite low down. Some of them have handlebars under the seat. Some have handlebars on top, so there's a huge variety of design. And a big reason that a lot of people choose recumbents is they take pressure off, pressure off the prostate. So for men particularly, that sometimes is an issue. And recumbents, you're also pushing forward with your feet, so it makes sense that you're pushing in the direction that you're going, so that does help with speed. On hills, they're a little more challenging, I've heard. And I think with every bike, it's really important to go and find one and ride it. So this is what I say to people who are looking for a bike. Go and try a lot of different bikes and see how they feel to you, because you're the one that's going to be riding it, and you should have the experience. And that's the best way to learn about bikes, is try them.
And David Vogt, do you want to weigh in on that? And maybe you can touch on the safety of those as compared to the other bikes, too.
I have ridden recumbents. I don't own one yet. I probably will. It'd be a fun addition to the stable. They do handle differently, and you do have to get used to them. One of the great things, we have one of the world's foremost experts on recumbent bicycles right here in Wisconsin, up in the bike shop in Stevens Point, am I allowed to say?
Mm-hmm.
It's the hostel shop up in Stevens Point. He even has designed his own line of recumbents that are built right here in Wisconsin. And if you have any questions, I'm sure he's the guy to talk to. So that's where I'd go if I was going to be buying one.
We've got an email here from Elizabeth in Duluth, Minnesota, who wants to know, are there colors that should be worn by bicyclists that can be easily seen by motorists and might help to prevent accidents. David Vogt?
Well, the screaming yellow, I believe, is the common color now from one of the bike clothing manufacturers. It's the very bright fluorescent yellow seems to be the standard. I don't know if there's been any studies that show that that is the most visible, but it is highly visible, and that's what I'd recommend. I have a lot of clothing, a lot of jackets and things like that, a lot of outerwear that are that bright fluorescent yellow.
Is that what you're hearing too, Amy Walker? Mm-hmm. Yellow?
Yellow is so common. I've seen most people wearing yellow. Yes, I have a yellow jacket as well. But yesterday I saw a guy with a fluorescent orange shirt from, you know, far, far away. He was clearly the most visible thing on the landscape. And I would say Dayglow pink might be good, or Dayglow blue. There's a lot of variety out there in fashion world. And one of the things we try to do is encourage people to, maybe have an entire vest made out of reflectors or something. Right. Go funky with it. Like, why just stick to the normal safety gear? Get really loud. Make yourself into a giant mirror ball.
Wow. A strobe. Well, thank you guys both for being with us this morning. It's been a great hour. Thank you, David Vogt.
Thank you very much.
And
Amy
us.
Walker, thank you so much. David Vogt, Deputy Executive Director of the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin. And Amy Walker, publisher and contributor for Momentum, which is www.momentumplanet.com. And that's a lifestyle magazine for urban cyclists. Thank you to Carmen Jackson for on-air production and Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. If you'd like a copy of this program, ask for 808D at 800-747-7444. I'm Veronica Rickert with you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.